From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, presented by Physical Athletics. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. And here we go. Welcome back at last. It's the 50-50 Podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partners, Physical Athletics, applying science to your game. Make sure whether you're a middle school, high school, semi-pro, a pro athlete playing or looking to play at the college level, make sure you look them up. They're doing special things. Coach Armando Aguilar, they're doing great things. Make sure you look them up. You can look them up on social media at Physical Athletic. That's singular, athletic, and that's actually spelled F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L. And then you can also look them up on their website at physicalathletics.com. So in speaking of Physical Athletics, we hope you all were able to listen to last week's episode, episode 3, in which we had Coach Armando Aguilar on here. And the topic was strength and conditioning, performance training, and how it's vital, how it matters for all athletes, especially for soccer athletes, and how it can be tailored for both male and female soccer athletes, student athletes. So hit on a lot of really great things and also the special things that they're doing, and also how we talked about injury reduction. There's no such thing as really ultimately injury prevention, but injury reduction. And also talked about just kind of dispelling some of the common myths. So that was, if you get a chance, make sure you go back and listen to that one. So excited about this week's episode. This week's episode, we got have a very special guest, soccer royalty, joining us, if you will, in Coach Randy Waldrum. Coach Waldrum is the current women's soccer coach at Pitt, which the University of Pittsburgh. And he was also, back in October, was appointed the head coach for the Nigerian women's national team. If that name sounds familiar, it's also because he's the former coach of the Houston Dash, as well as the former coach at the University of Notre Dame, women's soccer coach at the University of Notre Dame, where he won a national title, as well as a stint with being the head coach for the women's national team at Trinidad and Tobago. So excited to have him joining us this week. We look forward to it, which should be a dynamite, absolute dynamite episode. And then in addition, what we're also going to look at is we'll wrap up our inside look at the Tasco regional rankings for Region 1. Each week for the last 4 weeks now, we've been working our way backwards, starting from Region 4. So we would look at 4A, 5A, and 6A for Region 4. And subsequently, we've done the same for Region 3, Region 2, and this week we'll wrap up with Region 1. So we'll look at the top 10 rankings, and we'll look at teams to watch. Excuse me, teams to watch. We'll look at is there a clear-cut favorite in a particular region? Is there a kind of a dark horse or a team that's maybe lower in that top 10 that could kind of sneak up on some people? And then, of course, then what we're also looking at is making sure that you're starting to let us know as to players to watch, players that are maybe have the potential to break out on the scene this year, as we've been talking about, players that may just be known right now at their school or maybe within their local community, but going to have breakout seasons this year. So thank you for those of us, those of you all that have already started to tag us on your graphics, as I know everybody, it's an exciting time. It's a tough time, obviously, with what everyone is going through with COVID-19. But we're also trying to adhere to those protocols as best as we can and be responsible coaches, players, parents, administrators, referees, everybody. So it's an exciting time, as now this is the week where high school soccer in the state of Texas, the UIL side, the public side, completely kicks off this week. So very exciting time. I know a lot of people revving to go, And so we look forward to it. We're ready to go. So make sure you stay with us, all right? And after this word from our sponsors, we'll be ready to go. We'll start off with our guest for this week, Coach Waldrum. So don't go anywhere and stick around.
Hi, I'm Armando Aguilar, Director of Strength and Conditioning at Physical Athletics. If you want to take your game to the next level, come to Physical Athletics. Our experienced staff of strength and conditioning coaches bases all of their training programs on a proven successful philosophy and years of research and scientific data. From middle school to the professional level, come see how we apply science to your game to help you improve your performance and reduce your risk of injury.
To learn more, visit Physical Athletics online at physicalathletics.com. Check them out at Facebook and Instagram at Physical Athletics and visit them today, 2270 Joe Battle.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. Make sure you check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic and as well as their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, he is what many consider to be college soccer royalty. He's a big fan of his. I know a lot of people will definitely know him, not just throughout the state of Texas, but across the country and throughout parts of the world. He is Randy Waldrum, head women's soccer coach at Pitt, University of Pittsburgh women's soccer program, and also, as of October, the head coach for the Nigerian national team. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you again, and hope everything's well.
Thank you, Coach. It is. Thank you. So here we are almost 10 months into the pandemic. How are you? How's your family? And how's your program holding up?
Well, you know, thankfully, everybody's been safe. You know, I've had a few nephews that got it, but they were young and it didn't really hit them hard. But as far as immediate, you know, family, we've all been safe and good. Obviously, it's made it become a different year in the college season, as it has for soccer around the world. So it's been a little bit unique, and it was a situation that I think none of us could have really planned for. But we've gotten through it.
That's great to hear. So entering year three, and I know you all did get to play some matches in the fall. How's it going, and how have you and your coaching staff been navigating this season thus far?
Well, you know, we took a program over, you're right, three seasons ago. And quite frankly, no disrespect, but the program just wasn't very good. It had, when we took it over, it was 22 years old. They'd only had two winning seasons in 22 years. So I knew what I was getting into. Back to my days at Notre Dame, you know, we always played the University of Pittsburgh because we were both in the old Big East, and then we all moved to the ACC. So I was pretty familiar with the program. And I always say this, honestly, if you'd asked me 4 or 5 years ago, I would have told you I would have never been a coach at Pitt, just based on previous experience of what I perceive Pitt to be. But right. You know, the university, I saw where the year before I took the job, they hired Jay Vidovich, which I have a lot of respect for. I think he's one of the top men's coaches in the country. And when I saw that, I realized something we had to at Pitt. You know, they couldn't get a coach if things weren't a little bit different than I had perceived. And what I found out is they had a new chancellor. He's young, he's energetic, Chancellor Gallagher, and he's made a commitment to all the sports, not just football and basketball. And then they had hired a new athletic director, a lady by the name of Heather Like. And when I sat down with her and heard her vision for all the sports, she was an Olympic sport athlete herself. She was a softball player for the University of Michigan. So it was very important for those two to win in everything and not just in the two major sports. And then they made some commitments 6 or 7 years ago, building a new stadium on campus and those kind of things. So once I got here, I thought, wow, this is really neat. I'd never seen the campus, quite honestly. Every time we played Pitt, it was on a field that was about 30 minutes away from campus. So, you know, it was an old polo ground and it was just horrible. And, you know, so I just, once I actually saw the commitment level, you know, then I bought into it and I said, yeah, I'm up building another new program. You know, we did the same thing at Baylor. I started the program at Baylor University in 1996 from scratch. And that's really, even though it had 22 years of history, that's kind of what we had to do. We had to kind of blow it up and start all over again. So I'm really, really happy with what we've done and what our staff has been able to do in a short 3 years. You know, the first year we had to play with the players we inherited. We didn't have time to recruit. And that was a trying year. We didn't win any games at all in the conference, and only won 4 games, I think, during the year. And then in 2019, we brought in 17 new players, all freshmen. So in 19, we basically, quite honestly, started 8 or 9 freshmen every game, and had a much better year. We actually won a couple of conference games and tied a couple, which was great because we hadn't done that for 4 years, I think. And then this year we really added another layer to it. You know, we went 9-5, so we had a winning season. We got 2 more games to play in the spring. If we can win those, we have a chance to finish out the year at 11-5, which hasn't been done at Pitt ever. The most they've ever won is 10 games. So, you know, we're heading in the right direction, and we've gotten some really talented young players. Our 2021 class, I think, really puts us in a very, very good place talent-wise. And we're just finding now we can compete with anybody in the conference, which when we first got here, quite frankly, we couldn't compete with anybody in the conference. So it's been a really quick turnaround. I got to give, you know, our staff, Ben and Dustin, our 2 assistants, a lot of credit because they've really hit it hard on the recruiting trail. And done a really good job. So I think we're headed in the right direction. We're not Carolina yet. We're not, you know, we're not Florida State. We're not where I was when we were at Notre Dame, you know, years ago. We're just competing for a national championship every year. But I do think we can now compete, you know, respectfully, and represent our university well against those programs. And I tell you the drastic difference is when we took the team in 18, we lost to Boston College 7-0 on the road. We lost to NC State 6-0 on the road. I think against Carolina, we never crossed midfield. You know, it was just that kind of a year. And then the following year in 2019 with those 17 new freshmen, well, we actually beat BC at home in overtime. That's the background you see in my Zoom. That's our first ACC win in 4 years, and had lost to them 7-0 the year before. We beat NC State at home. I think they were ranked 15th in the, and like I said, they had beaten us 6-0 the year before. So we're making headway. We actually were beating Carolina at home 1-0 in about the 60th minute. Anson and I joke because he told me, he said, Randy, I got to tell you, he said that actually was the turnaround point for our team to realize we had to step things up. You know, it was the first time they had been down all year. So we're competing. You know, we took Clemson to overtime this year. I think they were number 3 in the country in a game that we played really well. You know, so we're making some strides. I think most of the coaches in the conference would tell you we're really starting to turn the corner, and you know, we're not an easy out now anymore. And so now the next step is to not only compete, but now to start to knock some of those teams off and make the NCAA tournament and start to get some success where we're doing that year in and year out.
That's great stuff, Coach. That's really great stuff. And that was honestly part of the reason why I wanted to have you on here. But I would say don't beat yourself up too much about not making it past midfield versus Carolina 1 year, because I've coached some teams against some slightly inferior competition where we had the same issue.
Yeah, I think as coaches, if we've done it as long as you and I have, we've all experienced that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Coach, talk about a little bit in terms of what you can share. The college recruiting trail as far as this dead period, which has now been extended again through April 15th.
Right.
For our listeners, our student athletes, maybe even our parents that may be listening, What is kind of the significance of that that's been felt at Pitt for, you know, and I mentioned this for any 2021s, 2022s that may be listening. What has been the significance that of that that has been felt by your program?
Well, the hard part for all of us is because it's been delayed so long, those 2021s had already committed. It's really put them in a really difficult spot because at this point, you know, we're not able to see them anymore. And everything through all the recruits and all the age groups is now is just watching the video of the different showcases and things. And as you and I know, both know, you can get an interest through video, but we still really want to see the player firsthand. The video doesn't always tell the true picture. So, video has helped a lot, but I feel really bad for the 2021s. And I think, you know, unfortunately, they're probably going to have to hang in there until April 15th and hope the dead period is not pushed back any further.
Right.
And then
right.
maybe we can get a chance to see them through the end of spring and early summer. And there's just going to probably be a group of 21s that still make some very, very late decisions and some universities that do that as well. We've gotten some video on some late 21s that we really like what we've seen on the video, but don't want to make those commitments, you know, until we actually get to see them. I think it's hit the 22s and to be honest with you, Hector, it's hit not only the 22s, but we're probably going to see some fallout for the next 2 or 3 years because right. with the NCAA granting an extra year of eligibility, well, for example, we're a young team. So we've got some, that group we recruited in 19 this year in 2020, they're only sophomores. And there's going to be a group of those that we're going to want to bring back for that extra year. So that's going to affect the 2023 class, right? Which would normally be their senior year, would have normally been 2022. Well, now we get them back 2023. So this is not only affecting the 21s, but the 22s and the 23s. And in some cases, I guess it could affect the 24s as well. If you had a freshman the extra year, it's a really unique thing. I would just say to anybody out there that's in that recruiting process, they've just got to be diligent, be a little bit more patient. You know, unfortunately, we've had so many years of recruits committing 2 or 3 years in advance.
Right.
Everybody's used to that. And quite frankly, now what we may see is this may have to go back more to old school where maybe some kids aren't committing till that senior year, that, you know, late in that junior year. And we have to do it a little bit more like it originally was. And in some ways, that's not a bad thing. You know, I think the commitments, freshmen and sophomores committing was getting too early anyway.
Right.
So in some ways, this could help. But I do think it's probably put the country, both coaches and players, in a little bit of a panic, especially those 21s who are so late in the process with them trying to find the place between now and August, you know, to find that school the fit to go to. So I've just got to stay diligent and stay patient. I would assume if the window gets pushed back beyond April, then my guess is going to be universities and players are probably going to have to make some decisions, just taking a little bit of gamble based on video alone.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, panic, when you said that, that reminded me of a conversation I had with another college coach, probably about a week ago, where, his indication, part of what he mentioned to me was he thinks short term, obviously, this is both coaching staffs and future recruits, 2021s, 2022s are going to kind of be in a little bit of a panic mode. But he thinks long term, this might have an opportunity to be kind of a good, fresh kind of reset for how the recruiting process plays out. So this way you don't have the kids trying to commit so far out, and then so many of them are entering the transfer portal. So switching gears here, Coach, kind of want to hit on something very unique because you're in a very unique situation here. Is what has it been like so far? I know you were appointed in October. What has it been like so far taking over for the Nigerian women's national team?
Well, it's been interesting because it's been a little bit affected as well at the international level with COVID, right? You know, they shut down the leagues. They've got a women's pro league. They shut it down. It just opened up last week or 2 weeks ago, I think. And obviously, you know, the U-17s and the U-20 World Cups have been canceled, you know, because of COVID.
Yeah, I saw that.
With our senior team, we did not qualify for the Olympics. So this year is kind of that off year as far as the Nigerian senior team goes. But, you know, unfortunately, because of COVID, I haven't been over yet. I haven't seen the team. We haven't had a training camp. We're working on trying to get a camp in January and then looking to possibly go to Turkey in February for an international event to pick up some games with a couple of national teams there as well in tournament play. So that's kind of where we are. Some of the things even logistically haven't been sorted out, you know, with me and the Federation yet. So right. I'm still, I have a lot of questions myself about the calendar and what's next and when can we get started. The one big thing I'm trying to work with the president is to try to make this a very active year because we can get a lot of things done in this off year. Whereas I think in the past when they had an off year, they didn't do much. You know, they kind of waited till the qualification year to get busy. And I'm almost the opposite. We need to be doing things now, you know, so that would be my goal. Unfortunately, I just don't know how much COVID is going to affect that. And so I'm anxious. I've had several Zoom calls with the players, with our staff already, you know, getting to know them. We've sent put together a training program, a 7-week training program for them to utilize to prepare for our first camp. For the players that aren't playing in Europe, the players that are playing overseas, their pro teams are active and they're busy. But a lot of the players in Nigeria that we have not had that same activity level. So it's been a lot of work already that I've put into it, just kind of behind the scenes. But I'm really anxious to get started with the team.
That's great stuff. And for some of our listeners that may not know, kind of wanted to share, so I'll brag for him because I know he won't brag. But Coach Waldrum had, in addition to being previously the coach for the Houston Dash, he was also won a national title at the University of Notre Dame and also had a previous stint with the women's national team being the head coach for Trinidad and Tobago. So, Coach, you kind of hit on this a little bit for the spring, but what can we, beyond the spring, what can we expect from Pitt women's soccer?
Well, I think we've got 9 of our 21s are actually coming in this spring. They're coming in a semester early. So we get a great chance to work with a new group. I think, honestly, on paper, we will be as talented across the board as any team's ever been at Pitt and probably up there talent-wise with the talent level we had at Notre Dame. I think the difference is we're still a couple of those impact, key difference maker kinds of players, you know, that all the top teams have, you know, that, you know, when you think of Stanford or you think of Carolina, you know, you think of Florida State, you immediately, you know, think of their very top players that kind of put them over the edge. I think we're still missing a few of those, but I think across the board, we're going to be a very, very talented team. And I think, so looking ahead, my hope is that in 2021, it'll be the year that we can break into that NCAA tournament for the first time and, you know, start to make some headway a little bit more in the ACC more than we have. We're kind of in that middle of the pack. I think we're in that 10 spot now and you know, but we're right there with 8, 9, 10. We're all very close. And I think even with probably 6, 7, and 8, it's all pretty tight in the middle of that pack. There's not much difference in those teams. But we want to make that next step to be a consistent top 4 or 5 team every year in the ACC, because if we can get into that level, then we're a top 25 team. You know, our conference is so competitive. Right. Most people just don't realize it until you've been in it. You don't realize how difficult it is week in and week out. So I think, you know, you've got to, sure, we want to win the conference. We want to be at the top of the ACC. Right. But at the same time, we know if we're in that top 6, 7, 8, year in and year out, you're a top 25 team and you've made the tournament. So, you know, that's kind of the next step for us. So that's where we hope to be.
That's good stuff. And I'm sure you'll have them there in no time, already on the right track. So So, Coach, we have for student athletes, parents that might be listening across the state, right, across the state of Texas and beyond. They may want more info on Pitt in general or Pitt women's soccer. Where can they find any information on you all?
Well, they can certainly go online at our website at the university. There's a site on Facebook as well. All of our coaches are on Twitter and Instagram. I'll take that back. I'm not on Instagram. I haven't gotten on that yet, but on Twitter and all the different platforms of social media, they can find us on as well. I think it's a unique kind of a world that we live in now with social media. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's, if it's used properly, I also think it can be a bad thing. And it keeps everybody on their toes, and it throws one more layer of compliance issues on there as well that you got to be careful of. Right. But certainly Facebook, online, they can find all of the information out about our program, and certainly feel free to reach out to any of us at any point in time as long as it's legal to do so.
Yes, sir. Compliance, absolutely. All right, Coach. Well, I know, I understand you're going to stick around with us for one more segment. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Sun City Prep Academy is currently accepting registration for its postgraduate and elite youth academy teams for the upcoming training season. For more information, visit our website, www.suncityprep.com. Unlock your potential. Compete at the highest level. Find your future at Sun City Prep Academy.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. We are once again with the Pitt women's soccer head coach, Randy Waldrum. All right, Coach, are you ready? This is the big one, our counterattack segment.
I guess you kind of got me a little bit afraid of this. I don't know what's coming, but hey, I'll be a good sport.
No, you're a Texan. I know you're game for anything. All right. Okay, so I'm going to throw it out there. We're going to kind of go rapid fire, and then you kind of come back as quickly as you can, all right? All right, first one, any pregame and or postgame rituals?
I don't have any pregame rituals. Postgame, I usually get stuck in. If we've won, I'll go to a certain restaurant late night afterwards, and as long as we're winning, I go to the same place. You know, I think I own stock in Chili's. Because I go there so often after a win, but no, nothing pregame.
All right. So a little bit of superstition there, right? Right. Okay. So
yeah, I have been known. You know, I've been known as a player. You know, back in the old day, you could wear your socks up, you could wear them down. You know, I do have a little bit of the way I dress. If we win and I'm in a certain outfit, I'll usually try to stick to that one as well.
There you go. I knew it. All right. Other sport you would have coached if not soccer?
Good question. Probably football. I love football. College, pro. I love college basketball. I'm not too much into pro basketball, but I love the college. March Madness and all that, but probably football. Not that I was ever big enough to play it, mind you, but I love the game, and I'm really good on Sundays to question why coaches are doing certain things. So that'd probably be it.
Yeah, for sure. Spoken like a true Texan. Absolutely. all right. So now here's one totally separate, other profession, if not coaching at all. What's another profession in a different life you would have done if not a coach?
You know, I probably would have continued to teach. I started out by teaching high school and coaching soccer, and that's where my coaching really began. And I love teaching. I love being around young people. So I probably would have ended up just teaching.
All right. Awesome. So next one, a favorite Netflix series or show you've been able to binge watch since the pandemic started?
Oh gosh, I tell you, I've watched so many. I've been watched so many of these. I think the one of the most recent ones on Netflix, I watched Queen of the South. I really like that one. I'm trying to think. I went back and watched all the Longmire. I hate to say it, but I went back and watched all the Longmire series on Netflix. Okay. So that one was a good one. Yeah, I think I hit pretty much Outlander. We watched Outlander and followed that one. So those would probably be the three that I've liked the most.
All right. Okay. So next one. So coach, I understand we can't all be blessed enough to be Liverpool fans. All right. So, what is your favorite? And I know part of this answer already. So favorite and least favorite soccer team.
All right. Well, my favorite obviously would be Manchester United. I'm a huge Man U fan. My least favorite is pretty closely connected to each other, so I'm going to have to give you two. Liverpool's my least favorite. Chelsea's a very close with them as well. I'm not a fan of either. So Man U, Chelsea, either one I would say is my least favorite.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I know that one just because, full disclosure, we're kind of always bickering back and forth with between Man U and Liverpool. So
that's right. That's right.
Favorite. Okay, so non-soccer. All right, any sport, any other sport. Favorite and least favorite team.
You know, I'm a big Cowboys fan. I've got to admit that because of being from Texas. Basketball, I'm probably and don't ask me why. Well, I can tell you why. I'm a big Lakers fan. But it's more due to Kareem and Magic and that group is when I kind of became a Lakers fan. Yeah, those are probably the teams I really support. I'm not really a baseball fan at all. But if I'd have to say I had one, it would probably be the Yankees, just based on being young and probably the only ones really. I'd say football, the Cowboys. And if I do watch basketball, you know, I'd probably say the Lakers.
Okay. So that's back-to-back Laker fans on my podcast that I've had. I'm going to have to do some serious editing here. All right.
Well, I got to tell you, though, part of it with the Lakers is I was such a big fan of the Showtime and, you know, their entertainment and how good they were offensively. And that kind of correlates with the way I think our game should look in soccer. So that's part of the reason. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that part I understand. I do, because I mean, I've been a Spurs fan my whole life, but my favorite player of all time is Magic Johnson. So I understand that.
Yeah.
All right. Next one, coach. So secret talent, hidden talent that not very many people may know.
Well, I would say most people don't know that I actually play the saxophone. Yeah. Wow. So I'd say that's my hidden talent.
Okay. For how long? Okay. How long?
Oh gosh. Probably since I was seventh grade, maybe. So, you know, a long time. Yeah.
You don't ever jazz it up for the girls in the locker room or anything?
No. I don't break it out on the bus, on the road trips or anything. In fact, none of my girls would even know I even play. But it's one of those hidden secrets that has been a secret.
All right. That's good to know. I didn't know that. So, all right. So my next one, kind of going back to binge watching here a little bit. So your favorite series are three soccer series, All or Nothing Tottenham, Sunderland Till I Die 2, and Ted Lasso. Which one and why?
Well, I haven't watched Ted Lasso. That's on my list to watch. I did really enjoy the Sunderland Till I Die. I also enjoyed the Tottenham, but like was the Leeds. Leeds has one out. I've kind of become a little bit of a Leeds fan due to that series. So there's a lot of good ones out. I enjoy all of them. I like to see what's going on in the back room.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the Ted Lasso one, you definitely have to watch. That one, I think that one was like the surprise hit of the year. I think that got a lot of people by surprise. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Different, but good. Still very, very good. Yeah. All right. So here's a different one for you, coach. Most random thought that has ever entered your mind during the game, while you're coaching a game.
Oh, gosh. That's a hard one. Most random thought.
you're in the middle of run a play and something just randomly entered your mind and you're like, why am I thinking this?
I don't know that I can think of one off the top of my head. I'm sure it's happened many times, but I can't think of one that's happened. What usually runs in my mind is when I see a ball in the air and I can tell that it's going to go over the player's head and I'm going, you need to back up. You need to back up. It's going over your head. It's going over your head. And sure enough, it goes over their head. You know, right. I don't understand why they can't see it on the field when I can see it from the sideline, but random thoughts. I don't know. You got me on that one. I can't really.
All right. Maybe we'll revisit that one. We're almost done.
All right.
All right. So last question is, so Sunday dinner post pandemic, you have the entire family, friends coming over, family from out of town. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
I'm the chef. Okay. Well, first of all, nobody would want to eat what I made and prepared. I can tell you that. But if I could cook and prepare food, it would be Mexican food. That's my favorite food is Mexican food. And I'm craving that right now is coming back south and getting some real Mexican food and especially some Tex-Mex. I really like that. So that's what I prepare if I could.
Absolutely. And hey, anytime you're in El Paso, coach, let me know. Okay.
I definitely look you up for that. Absolutely.
All right, coach. Well, hey, that does it for Counterattack. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you being on the 50-50 podcast again. Is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners?
No, I'll tell you what, just, I appreciate you having me and, you know, everybody just stay safe and stay strong. We'll get through this virus. One of these days, and I'm sure we'll see a different kind of world when we come out of it in a lot of different ways. But just have the faith, keep believing, and keep loving this beautiful game that we all get to be a part of.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. He's Randy Waldrum, head women's soccer coach at Pitt, and also the head coach for the Nigerian women's national team. Coach, thank you again for your time. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our proud sponsors.
Sun City Prep Academy is currently accepting registration for its postgraduate and elite youth academy teams for the upcoming training season. For more information, visit our website, www.suncityprep.com. Unlock your potential. Compete at the highest level. Find your future at Sun City Prep Academy.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners. Make sure you check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. So a great, tremendous interview that we're coming off of there with Coach Waldrum. Make sure you go back, give that a great listen, as he gave us a lot of tremendous insight on a lot of things happening there at the University of Pitt. So please be sure you go back and check out those many great things that he dropped. Gave us a lot of really good insight as to where that program has been, excuse me, where it's kind of in his short time where it's been as well, and where it's headed. So exciting things coming. So thank you to Coach Waldrum for his time. So we're going to wrap up this week now. We're our final segment here. We're going to go ahead and we're going to dive into what we mentioned earlier that we've been wanting to discuss in keeping with looking at these prognostications, these rankings, these preseason rankings by TASCO for UIL. So as we previously mentioned, we had looked at we're kind of going in descending order in the top 10 for regions 4, 3, and 2, looking at the 4A, 5A, and 6A. And today we're going to go ahead and wrap that up with region one. So diving right in, we're going to look at, so for our region one, 4A boys and girls. So our top 10. And again, in case you haven't been listening in the past, the way TASCO does these is they send out preseason surveys to all the head coaches in all the districts across the state. And based upon that, so each respective coach submits their submits their top 10 or whoever they believe is maybe their top five, whatever they want to submit. Tasco then receives all of those, consolidates those, and they, from there, based upon coach's input, they go ahead and they kind of tabulate and determine their rankings. So looking at 4A boys in Region 1, excuse me, we have Midlothian Heritage, San Elizario, Argyle, Fort Worth Diamond Hill Jarvis, and Stephenville. That makes up the top five. And then you'll have El Paso Riverside, Bridgeport, River Oaks Castleberry, Gainesville, and Kennedale rounding out the top 10. So in this one, in this region, you'll have in here you have the second ranked team in the region, which is San Elizario. They are still technically the defending state champs, as they won the state title in 2019. And of course, there was no state tournament last year in 2020. So they're still the king of the hill until they're knocked off. And I see them as obviously Coach Seppenfield puts out a great, great squad every year. So to me, I think they're still the team to beat without a doubt. although they are behind Midlothian Heritage. So I know Midlothian Heritage will definitely have something to say in that region. And my team to watch this year is a team that's actually going down in classification from 5A to 4A this year, which is El Paso Riverside, which played last year. They played in one of probably the toughest, or if not the second toughest district in the entire state of Texas out here in West Texas in El Paso, which was District 25A. So a very tough district. And then the dark horse coming out of that region on the boys' side for 4A, I have Kennedale. So we'll see interesting things. When we look at the girls' side for 4A, there's three teams that kind of clearly stand out as kind of the top of the pack, with Midlothian Heritage, San Elizario at number two, and Argyle at number three. Any one of those three teams really can really challenge to come out of Region 1 for the state tournament. My team to watch is the defending state champion, obviously, who sits there at number five, Stephenville. So they will definitely have something to say by the time it's all said and done. And then, of course, you also have, also just like on the boys' side, I'm going with Kennedale as the dark horse sitting there at number 10 on the girls' side. We switching gears, we look over at 5A now for the boys. You have Ryder, Wichita Falls Ryder, Wichita Falls High, El Paso Del Valle, Colleyville Heritage, and El Paso Bel Air. That rounds out the top five with Aledo, Grapevine, Mansfield Legacy, Fort Worth South Hills, and Birdville rounding out the top 10. This will be a very, very tough, very highly competitive region. As they all will, of course, but this one, obviously, in here you have, sitting at number five, you had the defending state champion as well, El Paso Bel Air, the 2019 state champion. But in here right now, I think I have as the clear favorite right now, I shouldn't say clear, but the favorite, is Wichita Falls Ryder. They're sitting at number one. My team to watch that I'm very high on this year is Colleyville Heritage, sitting there at number four. And then the dark horse in this group, as to primarily really because of pedigree, and you know they're going to be tough, is Aledo. So interesting things coming out of that group. Very highly, highly competitive group. On the 5A girls side, we have Grapevine, Burleson Centennial, Aledo, Lubbock Coronado, and Wichita Falls Ryder making out the top five. And then rounding out the top 10, you have Birdville, Colleyville Heritage, Mansfield Legacy, Lake Dallas, and El Paso El Dorado. So in this group here, I kind of have, it's similar. You have that top three where it could go any number of directions, it could go any number of ways. But I have really kind of as, I have Aledo here, definitely on pedigree on the girls' side. Aledo as the favorite kind of to emerge, but some teams, so definitely Burleson, Centennial, and Grapevine will have something to say about that. My team to watch out of this group is Lubbock Coronado. They got some very, very special talent in that group, and this could be the year. Could this be the year where they break through? And then they're sitting at number seven is going to be my dark horse I was kind of torn between two dark horses on this one. My dark horse here, I'm going to go ahead and go with Colleyville Heritage on the girls' side. But number 10, El Paso El Dorado, they may have something to say by the time it's all said and done. So another potential dark horse there. And then in the final, in the going to the big boys, the big girls, looking at 6A. On the boys' side, we have South Lake Carroll at 1, Marcus, Coppell, Arlington, Bowie, and Allen at the top. That's your top 5. Then you have Grand Prairie, Sam Houston, LD Bell, McKinney Boyd, and Prosper rounding out the top 10. And this one, clearly, South Lake Carroll sitting there at number 1. I view as the favorite to this point, kind of unfinished business from last year where they were undefeated going into the state tournament last year, playoffs, and then, of course, weren't able to play in the state playoffs. Allen sits there at number 5 as my team to watch, with McKinney Boyd at number 9 sitting there as a potential dark horse on the boys' side. And then last but not least, on the 6A girls' side, looking at you have Flower Mound, Prosper, South Lake Carroll, Allen, and Marcus. That's your top 5. And then rounding out the top 10, you have Coppell, Hebron, Denton Geyer, McKinney Boyd, and Plano West to round out the top 10. This group also, I view this as a potential 3 teams could emerge out of this as your possible, as your probable favorites. In Flower Mound, without a doubt, Flower Mound, very strong, very good, Prosper, and of course, South Lake Carroll. So on pedigree alone, South Lake Carroll, some tremendous players. So kind of, I look at that group as a kind of a group that's distinctly kind of sitting higher than the rest. And then a team to watch, I have sitting there at number 6, you have Coppell. And then my dark horse in this group, I have Denton Geyer. So that's going to do it, really, for our, it took us 4 weeks, but we've gone through them. Let us know what you think. DM us, send information. Again, remember, let us know your pregame, your graphics, your edits, information, players that are shining. Make sure you tag us. You can tag us on Twitter at 50_50pod. As well as we're also on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Again, that's on Twitter at 50_50pod and on Instagram at 50_50podcast. So as we look forward next week, very excited about next week's episode. Next week's episode, it'll be another shift, kind of like last week's episode, where we'll start to dive in and we'll look at the recruiting process. We'll bring in a special guest. We'll have our CEO and founder of Prep One, which is, full disclosure, a group that I work closely with on the as a college recruiting consultant. So Mr. Jesse Tovar, we'll have him in next week, and we'll dive into, we'll look at the recruiting process. We'll kind of peel back some of those layers to that onion. We'll get raw, and we'll get pretty real on some of the things that we feel that student athletes really need to hear, as well as parents, in terms of not only how drastically different the college recruiting process has changed in the last 10 months, but kind of also where we see it headed and some of the things on how student athletes and parents need to prepare and need to be prepared to adapt. So we look forward to it. Make sure you're, make sure you're liking, rating, subscribing. Rating is a big one, because when you rate us, it really helps us get more steam as a podcast. For our valued listeners, thank you. Continue to spread the word. Continue to let people know what we're doing, what we're about. Again, we talked about it. The 50/50 podcast is all about, we're dedicated to the people. This is about the people and for the people that are dedicated to this game. So make sure you get the word out. Again, like, rate, subscribe. And you can find us again on Twitter at 50_50pod and on Instagram at 50_50podcast. So thank you again for your time. Make sure we'll keep in touch. Send those scores. Make sure you tag us. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. You've You've been listening to another episode of the 50-50 Podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod and at Coach H. Cano, as well as on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. Thank you.